Imagine a digital version of gossip scrawled on the bathroom stall, and you've got the new app Yik Yak, anonymous, blunt, and hyper-local. Adam Crouch is a student at Washington State University. Last fall, more than a third of WSU students were on Yik Yak.
It started getting personal. One of them was, "Hi, my name's Jeff Waller, and I'm a huge F-A-G-G-O-T-T."
According to Crouch, that homosexual yak was just the start of it. Recently, after an incident at a WSU frat, a lot of the content turned racial.
Yeah, I really don't want to say it, but they're really, really awful racial things.
Adam Crouch was fed up with Yik Yak, so he and fellow WSU students launched a campaign to get people off the app. That campaign gained momentum nationally.
That's the whole idea of cyberbullying, and why it happens is because people can say things to other people that hurt them, and the only reason they do that is because they're hiding behind the keyboard.
Crouch and many other people think Yik Yak is just another opportunity to cyberbully. Ellen Selke recently co-authored a study on the effects of cyberbullying on college students. She works in adolescent medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital. Selke says even though apps like Yik Yak have so much potential for good, people still use them for bad.
It goes back to why people bully in face-to-face context as well. Issues that we know about bullies, for example, having frustration in other areas of their lives that is then channeled into frustration towards another person. But I think that cyberspace allows people to do these things more easily and to a wider audience, and especially with an app like Yik Yak behind the guise of anonymity.
What kinds of cyberbullying specifically did you look at in your study?
So we looked at 11 different types of behavior. The most common ones that people talked about were hacking into another person's online account and posting something as them. Unwanted sexual content, so sexting, explicit messages, and there are a couple other behaviors, but those were the most common ones people endorsed in our study.
What kinds of things did you find both about the bullies and the victims of the bullies?
Our study was in female college students only, and we found that over 1 in 4 students had experienced cyberbullying in college, either as a bully or a victim or both. And we found that that involvement was associated with a tripling of risk for depression. And then when we separated out the bullies from the victims, we found that the bullies were the ones who were at highest risk for depression and alcohol use.
In your practice, you see kids who have been seriously harmed psychologically by cyberbullying. And what would you like people to understand about the kinds of stories that you hear?
I would say that the stories that I see are, as you say, the kids who have had the worst happen, where they're depressed, they're out of school, they're suffering from anxiety. What I would like to impress on people is that there was a lot that happened to get up to that point. And so checking in with your kids about the interactions that they're having with peers online before it can get to that point is so important, because there's a whole range of negative effects that it can have.
What do you want people to know and understand about the stories of the bullies?
So bullies are people too, I think, is the biggest message that I want to bring across. And I think they're so often demonized in stories that we hear about victims. And this is not to discount the victim's experience at all. But being a bully and being mean to someone comes from a place of hurt. What I want to impress is that the bullies are also suffering from depression, substance use, things that we think of commonly as having to do with victims. And so I think it's just important to remember to reach out to both sides of the equation.
I'm with Ellen Selke. She's the co-author of a recent report on the effects of college cyberbullying. And colleges can certainly discourage the use of apps like Yik Yak or, in fact, cyberbullying in general. But you can't really stop students from using these apps or cyberbullying at all. So what would you advise colleges to do? What do you think they should do?
Well, I think that what is encouraging, for example, about the WSU story is that it's the students that really are doing the policing. And there are things that apps can do, such as Yik Yak, such as downvoting, where offensive content can be policed by the users. And I think that's a good technical solution. But really, change has to come from the student body and what kind of climate students want to have on campus. We talk a lot about digital footprints with kids in schools and the permanency of the content that you post online. Just as we worry about our environmental carbon footprint, I think thinking about a digital footprint is a part of being a good digital citizen.
It's such an evolving place. And an app like Yik Yak, which is sort of an anonymous hyper-local Twitter, is new. We might see something else come up for use tomorrow. They can be great. They can be wonderful. We look at the sort of communities that form on places like Twitter or Facebook. But given the problems that they can cause, problems we've been talking about, are they worth it in society?
I think so. I think, for example, a platform like Yik Yak or Twitter, where anybody can post to it, we've seen great examples of ways that it can be used for activism. And I also think that the generation of kids who are currently in middle and high school and college, this is such a big part of their lives and a way to keep in touch with people that they wouldn't usually be able to, that I do think that it's here to stay. And I think that's a good thing.
Ellen Selke works in the Adolescent Medicine Division at Seattle Children's Hospital. She's the co-author of a recent study on the effects of college cyberbullying. Washington State University says it doesn't have any plans to try to prohibit Yik Yak, but it does support the students who encourage others to delete the app.